So hey, good morning, church. We don't really do a lot of, back on track Sunday or whatever you want to call it. I want to recognize some of our kids today. And I'll start youngest to oldest. Olivia, what'd you do Friday night? You're on the track. She was. Marley, were you out there? Was Maddie there as well? Kindly, okay. So these three young ladies were part of, and maybe there's, London, you weren't there, were you? You don't go to Northmore, right? So these three young ladies were part of a group of around 135 pre-K through 6th grade cheerleaders. I prayed for the cheerleading coaches all week. 135 of them in the gym for two nights and then Friday night on the track. But it was pretty cool to see that many little girls on the track. And it was not the best of weather conditions. I think we got them off the track though before it really started raining. So that's youngs. Brody, come on up here a minute, buddy. Come here. I know. I'm going to use you for a second. Brody plays in the Biddy Football. Nolan, you play? No. What would you stand up? What did your guys' final record end up? You lost one game, right? Oh, you guys still have playoffs or whatever. So he plays on the 4th and 5th grade team. And then he also plays up on the 6th grade team because they only have 9 or 10 players, so he double dips. But these guys score like 38 points a game at the little kid level, so that's pretty impressive. Also, today is Brody's birthday, so I'm going to use him in a minute to do a little... I got something for you. I know Brody really likes this stuff. Abby was in 8th grade volleyball. Brenna, you didn't play. You guys don't play volleyball yet, right? Brenna plays sideline football, backyard football, and I heard her team's undefeated. I don't know. I see her back there with the junior high boys. I saw a post Julie made with junior high boys and Biddy boys, and Brenna's in the middle of the huddle. So that's pretty cool. Abby played junior high volleyball. As Dwayne has mentioned before, in 7th grade they didn't win any sets at all or any games. This year they won 4 in the tournament. They actually won a tournament game against East Knox and then got beat. Who'd you get beat by? Fredericktown. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. We don't have any junior high footballers. All right, Jackson. Jackson is on our varsity football team, who is now 8-1. They lost Friday night to Centerburg. But he is on the he's a starter for the JV team, plays both ways for the JV team, I think, right? Now I just heard rumor. Jackson is a touchdown maker, and I can't wait to see it on Friday night. I think he had 160 yards receiving yesterday, is that correct? Somebody told me it was like man among boys, and I wish I would have seen it. Said he was going up higher than the goalpost and catching balls over top of people. So I thought that was pretty cool. But they also, the JVs, were 7-1, playing mostly freshmen, and your freshman team was 4-0, 4-5-0, okay? So, and then I'll finish with Lexi. Lexi is a senior on the volleyball team. They finished 16-5. Is that right? They have tournaments this week, Thursday. Thursday, they were the 3 seed in the tournament. They're the 3 seed in the district, Central District tournament. They will have at least one home game. We don't know who they play yet, I don't think, right? That's Tuesday they play. Alexi is a senior playing, could be playing her last volleyball game on Thursday at Northmore. Is that 6 o'clock? I think it's 6 o'clock. Understand if you do want to go see that, you have to order your ticket ahead of time through the OHSAA website. It's not a come at the gate type deal. But I just wanted to bring or acknowledge these kids because, guys, our kids are growing up. Yes. Yes. Alan and Megan are both in the Northmore marching band as well. The number in that has grown. I think you guys are, 50 right now? Something like that. So that's pretty cool, too. But our kids are growing, and they go from, Marley's probably the youngest one, and Marley and Olivia, up to Lexi. And, the progressions that they show, whether it be in the classroom or on the field, are also the progressions we should show as Christians. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We just think, we're a Christian. Listen, there's different levels of Christianity. And I think it's important for us to remember that Brody may not be at the same talent level as Jackson in football right now, but he's working towards that. And Christians, we may not be at the same talent level as somebody else, but we're working towards that. And that goes into my message today. But Brody, step up here, step. We're going to sing to Brody. I'm not going to lead. Brody's going to actually lead the singing today to himself. No, I'm just Jamie. Happy birthday. So Brody is 11 today. Thanks, bud. Now, you can go. Yes. All right, kids, you can be dismissed. Brody's embarrassed. Yeah. I owe Brody something because he almost knocked me down 2 weeks ago. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and as we talk about today, that you are always pursuing. I just want us to remember that we are at different levels in our lives, and you are still pursuing us no matter what level we are. Lord, we love you for that. We thank you for that. Just shut me down and take me out of the equation, Lord, and give me the words you want to be spoken today, and let everybody have ears that you want them so they can hear what you want them to hear today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So I didn't want to embarrass Brody anymore, but the best illustration I can think of for what we're talking about today is, I'm doing this series, and it was God is the always God. He's always speaking. He's always listening. He's always seeing. And today we're going to talk about God is always pursuing. And the best thing I could think of, has everybody ever seen Finding Nemo? Right? The little cute little fish that, he's got a short fin or something, and he somehow gets separated from his mom and dad, and the dad goes on a pursuit of finding Nemo. And guys, while that's cute, while that's funny, it takes him into a pirate ship sunk below with sharks and whatever, but God, I want you to understand that God is pursuing us like that little fish. He will go to the ends of the world to make sure we hear his message. So, with that, the passage today is Luke 15, chapter 15. And there's three parables there that Jesus told. And I'm going to try to talk about all three. We've done messages on all three of these, I think, before, and it can be its own message. But I just kind of want to tie them all together because I want you to understand how precious we are to our God. So we're going to be in 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Guys, we could close Bibles today right now and go home at 10:45. That's complete. That is telling you all you need to know about God's pursuit of us. If I fall away, he's going to leave all the millions of people to come find me. And when he does, he's going to rejoice. That's why we go to all the ends of the earth preaching the gospel. Because he wants no one left behind when he comes again. Now, being a... Listen, you know I raised some sheep. We switched sheep around because we pulled bucks and whatever. And we brought this sheep back to our pasture that was down at my sister's. And this sheep is just a big load. And the first couple days she was back, she was out both days. I come home from work, she's standing out in my yard. Listen, I've housed 15 sheep all summer. Nobody's got out of our fence. But this sheep got out. So we caught her. We put her back in the pen. Walked the fence line, didn't see anything. Next day, I come home from work. And I had to come and then leave real quick. So I didn't really pay any attention. I get a call. Shelby gets home from work and said, "Dad, do you know that Franklin is out again?" I do not know that, Shelby. So Shelby catches the Franklin ewe, puts her back in the pen. A couple hours later, I come home, and she's out again. I said, "Shelby, did you walk?" "Well, no, I just put her back in the pen." So I went down, and we have a metal gate. It's an 8-foot metal gate. It used to have a wheel on it, has since rusted, locked, so it doesn't spin. This gate probably weighs, with the pressure on it, probably 100 pounds. This ewe was pushing that gate with the tire that's rusted up to get across the fence to eat the grass on the other side. And it was still chained. She just pushed it far enough to wiggle through. So I had to make some adjustments. But guys, that's how we are as Christians. So many times we're not content with what we have. And we want to get to the other side. But it takes our shepherd to come, put us back with the rest of the flock, and be overjoyed about it. Let me tell you, I was not overjoyed. I was not wanting to call everybody and have a party. I was frustrated with the sheep. But we got her back. She's now been in for 2 weeks. Life is good. Now I can rejoice because the gate appears to be working the way it's supposed to. But when God finds those lost sheep, those lost sinners. He brings them right back into the fold. No questions asked. It's the kind of God we serve. Now, I can tell you as a shepherd, again, I told you how much is you weighed. I am not picking this sheep up, putting it over my shoulders. Right? When God finds us, He not only drags us back into the fold, He picks us up and carries us. That is the love our God has, and that is the pursuit of us that He has. Let's move on. Parable of the lost coin. Again, this is Jesus talking. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Same principle as the lost sheep, but this is one sinner who repents. That's just powerful. And here's probably my favorite. And this one's a little longer, take a little more time. But I think applies to our lives today, because I've seen it in families, I've seen it in groups, I've seen it in churches. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." So I'm going to paint this picture. This kid had everything, right? His father was a fairly wealthy man. I mean, it doesn't say how wealthy. It doesn't say, I mean, obviously he didn't have endless amount of wealth, because this kid squandered it all pretty fast. But you know, if my three girls came to me and one of them said, "Hey, I want my part of the inheritance," guess what you're getting? You're getting a phone bill. Okay? You're getting a third of my barn, a third of my sheep. Okay? But so this guy had a little bit of money. And as a parent, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't know what I would do. But this fella gave it to his son willingly. And he goes out and just squanders it. And he is in such a bad place that he hires himself out to feed pigs. Now, I'm not talking about feedlot pigs where we dump grain in a feeder and they go and self-feed. I'm talking about a pen that's probably muddy, messy, and you know what they're feeding them? They're feeding them garbage. They're feeding them the leftovers. They're feeding them the stuff when the cooks cook, it's the stuff they throw out. The junk is what they're feeding these pigs. Makes you want to go eat some bacon, huh? But this guy was in such a bad spot. That's what he decided to do. Why? Because pride told him not to go back to see his father. Pride. So this guy squandered through this time, and he was, it was so bad, he was wanting to eat what was left over from the pigs. Can you imagine? So then in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and he went to his father. So basically, it got so bad, he chucked his pride out the window and said, "I gotta go back. But I know that I'm not worthy to be called his son, so I'm going to go back and ask for a job and know that I'll be taken care of." Still verse 20. "But while he was still a long way off, our father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Now I want you to imagine this. We all know our kids pretty well, right? Like if I see my daughters from a distance, now with my new glasses, it can be quite a ways off. But if I see them, I don't even have to know who it is. If I see their walk, I see their gait, I know which one of my daughters, and I know that that's them. Okay? Shelby is probably perky, although she's less perky now that she's had a job for a while. But she's the perky one out in front, bounding with energy. Lindsay is the one with her hands in her pockets and walking like a guy, shuffling her feet. And Morgan's the one that I'll be able to tell her because this will be going. Okay? I won't have to hear it. I'll see her mouth and I'll be able to hear it in my head. I tease Morgan, but she has the personality. So this guy sees his son coming and he doesn't wait for his son to get there. Guys, that's what I want you to understand. Our God is not waiting for us to get there. He's coming to us. He is pursuing us for that eternal life, for that relationship with him. Because so many times our pride is, I can't go back to God. Do you know what I've done? I can't go back to God. Do you know what I've thought? Do you know what I've said? Do you know where I've been? Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's only been one perfect person in this entire history of humankind. And we nailed him to a tree so that we can be perfect in God's eyes. We didn't know that when we did it, but we know it now. Because that perfect person was nailed to the tree, his blood shed, that covers our sins. So throw your pride away. And know that God is actively pursuing you today. It doesn't stop there, though. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe to put on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." Guys, that response is God's response when he finds us. When he knows we're where we're supposed to be, that is his response. Can you imagine how great heaven's going to be if that is God's response when he finds one lost sinner. We fully don't know. I can't process how great heaven's going to be. All I know is there's not going to be any of this junk we have right now. There's not going to be cancer. There's not going to be COVID. There's not going to be elected officials. There's not going to be tax on gas. There's not going to be $4 gas. There's not going to be $4 milk. We are going to live for eternity in perfection because our God pursues us. So they began to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And we can go into the other son. I don't want to focus on that today, because what I want to focus on is that pursuit and that extreme joy that the dad had when he found his son. Guys, we're going to be done early today, maybe. But what I want you to know is you serve a God that stops at nothing to save you or me. What does that entail? Well, some of us, our pride has never let us come forward and accept the Lord as our Savior, start a relationship with Him. Some of us, it's fear. Because we just don't know. Some of us, it's pride. I don't want to go up and look weak in front of the church. Guys, the church was built on guys that were imperfect. Think about that. Peter. Dude, this own guy. Jesus. Right? Not once. Not twice. Three times. And what did God say about him? You are the rock I'm going to build the church on. Okay? So these guys were not perfect. We are not perfect. God used those disciples then to spread the gospel, to spread the story, to spread the word after Jesus died. God is using us today for the same purpose. That is our job, to spread the gospel, to spread the love, to spread the story of a God that will pursue you till the end of time. What happens when we fall away? Prodigal son. We get lost. We do. We get lost. There's days at work when I just feel like I'm lost. And you know, a certain song will come on the radio while I'm driving to my next stop, and I think, okay, thank you, God, for pursuing me. It always comes at the right time. Or I'll get a phone call from somebody. Or I'll make a phone call to somebody. And that conversation reminds me that my God is perfect. He can take me and use me. And not only will He do that, but He will pursue me and push me until the end of my life to ensure that I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Guys, if we cannot be excited about that and the God we serve, why are you here? So many times our lives get filled with junk. And I'm very guilty of that. I get so busy sometimes I can't even see straight. God doesn't quit pursuing me. God doesn't quit saying, Matt, I got something for you tomorrow at work. You know, those of you, most of you know, Matt McGlod has not been here the last couple Sundays because his crew got called to 7 days a week. And he was not happy about it. But I guarantee you, God is still using him up there. Absolutely. God will use you in every situation you're in. Are you willing to serve the God that will pursue you till the end of the earth? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I thank you for these three stories, the three parables, but just to know the importance of how important we are to you, God, but also to know the lengths that you will go to save us, to bring us back into the fold, and to love us like you always love, perfectly and without question. Lord, we're broken sinners, and we don't deserve to be loved that way. But you do it anyway. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory for not giving up on us, Lord. We can't fully imagine heaven, but we know that it's going to be great. Just continue to put people in this church and put this church out into the community and put this community out into the state and the state out into the United States, Lord, so that we can continue to push your gospel, your truth, and your love onto every single human being. Lord, use us this week. Show us your love when we need it. And use us this week to show your love to other people that may have never seen it before. In your name we pray. Amen. So, yes. Okay. Go ahead. God is working and God is pursuing us in our everyday lives. And right there is a testament to that. Yes.
registration and everything. We got everything all fixed up, so we feel safer. You know, we feel like that happened for a reason.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's a definite praise. Even though it doesn't look like it, when that situation arises, when you heard those words, this was a fire waiting to happen. Hallelujah. Our God is always watching out for us, and He's always pursuing us. The praise band will be here. Hey, Dwayne, let's get Julie. Oh, Julie's here.
Also, that black wire was laying right beside my car, right behind my car. It didn't cut off the electric.
Crazy. Absolutely.